Today's New Testament reading is the first epistle to the Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. For although there are may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you, who have knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. This is the word of the Lord. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Mark Braden from Zion Lutheran Church in Detroit, Michigan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, you are saved from the slavery of sin. You are saved from death, and you have freedom in Christ. You have freedom from sin, freedom from death, for in Christ sin has no longer dominion over you. You are not under the law, but in Christ you are free. You are under grace. And so your life is a witness to others. The way that you live tells others what is important to you. It tells others what you believe. They learn what you believe from your actions. It is not the things that you do that save you. As a Christian, you are free from the law. And yet works necessarily follow faith. Nor is it the things that you know that save you. Great though that knowledge may be, knowledge cannot save you. And yet faith requires knowledge. Faith knows of the holy incarnation, the perfect life, and the passion and the atoning death of the Lord Christ. But knowledge apart from faith is quite different. Knowledge alone simply puffs up. Pride and arrogance and egocentrism grow. To be puffed up is to be hollow. It is to be empty on the inside. It is to live for yourself at the expense of others, and that is sin. Consider how your words or your actions have impacted those around you. Have you only and always built up others in Christian love? Or at times have you been puffed up, thinking only of yourself, even to the detriment of those around you? The apostle writes that to cause others to stumble is sin. It is a violation of the second table of the law. And that your sin be brought to light, God has given the holy law, which only and always accuses. The law thrusts its flinty point into your flesh to reveal your sinfulness. The law cuts into the one who is puffed up, piercing pride, bursting the inflated ego that is self-consumed. And uncovering your sin, the law pronounces the sentence of death upon every sinner. But that you be saved, that you live, the Lord of the church was pierced for you. He bore your sin. He bore the sin of the world, that your sin be forgiven, that you be reconciled to God. Having paid the bloody price for your sin, he put death to death. By rising to new life, he took up his life again, that his holiness and his righteousness be imputed to you freely, simply by believing, that his righteousness be preached into you, that it be washed into you, and that believing in Christ, all your sins are forgiven. While knowledge puffs up, love builds up. To be built up is to be made strong. The knowledge that is foundational to faith, the knowledge of that which God has done for you in Christ, is expressed in love. And that love, a reflection of the love that God has for you in Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit of the living God that dwells in you, that love builds up, it edifies, it builds you up as a believer, it makes you strong to withstand temptation, and through love, others around you are built up. That love, the love of God in Christ shown to you, that love builds up the Holy Church. As the living stones of the holy temple of Christendom, you love one another. You give to one another, and you give for one another. God works in his church that his love, the love that you have, dear Christian, is expressed in sacrificial love, concerned with the well-being of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And by that love, rather than being puffed up, faith gives of oneself. And love builds up that the body of Christ be edified and made strong, and that you be strong in the faith. God bids you to kneel and to be joined to his holy church in one communion, that you be edified as you eat the body of Christ and drink his blood. In this one holy communion, you are made one with God the Father, of whom all things are, and you for him. And you are made one with the one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom you live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We thank Pastor Mark Braden from Zion Lutheran Church in Detroit, Michigan, for today's meditation on God's Word.